Well, folks, I don't know whether I should be sad about this or if I should celebrate this, but I crossed a milestone a couple of months ago, actually, in my life. I've been out of high school for 40 years. Yeah. I know that there are others here that have already gone to their 90th high school reunion, but 40 years. I can't believe I've been out of high school 40 years. But you know, whenever you start thinking about your high school years, does anybody in here besides me think about, you know, some of the kids you graduated with, you know, perhaps, you know, what has become of them? Is anybody there besides me? You know, occasionally I get to go to where I graduated from and I've met a couple of people that are old like me and I graduated with them. I can remember so many things about some of the kids I graduated with. One of the girls I graduated with, her little brother, I think is just a year younger than her, his claim to fame was he could actually kick himself in the back of the head. It was just he was the most awesome kid. You know, his name was Hanky Means, and I used to go, "Hanky, kick yourself." And he could kick himself in the back of the head. It was awesome. And he loved to eat butter. I mean, I know it wasn't butter. It was those little pats of margarine that the cafeteria served. But, I mean, he'd eat four or five of those pats at one time. It was just, oh, he was a weird kid. Sister was kind of weird, too. Whatever became of all those kids you graduated with? Some of the ones that I graduated with, I hear on a regular basis, you know, what's going on in their life because my mom lives in the community. She substituted at the school that I tried to burn down several times for a lot of years. And so she's familiar with a lot of their lives. But, you know, I talked with her on the phone last week, and she said that she had been at the county fair, and there was a lot of kids that were asking her about, well, they're not kids because they're my age now, but kids I graduated with, you know, well, where's JD? What's happened to him, you know? And this morning, I want to preach a message, and I want to kind of explain what's happened to me since I graduated. Would that be all right? So this morning, I want to talk about the word righteous. Obviously, you know, the Bible, as you look through it, you're going to find this. You're going to find the word right. You're going to find the word righteous. You're going to find the word righteousness all through the Bible. And so this morning here is kind of the definition of it. It says acting in accord with divine law. So it means that divine law and you are acting in accord with it. It also says to be free from guilt or sin. So if you are righteous, it means that you're acting in accord with divine law. You are free from sin. You are free from guilt. Now, let me just kind of, last week we talked about reconciled, that we are reconciled with God. That means that there was a time in our lives where we were enemies with God, and whenever we got born again, we had that John chapter 3 experience, we went from being an enemy with God to a friend of God. And everybody remembers that sermon from last week, yes? Whew, okay, and my work is cut out for me. But this morning, I want to talk about being right with God. I want to talk about being righteous, having His righteousness on the inside of me. And I will tell you that it is literally this righteous part. It's a theme that just literally goes all the way through the New Testament. It's really a key that you got to get a hold of. It's so much of a key that God said, He said, if you will seek first my righteousness, He said, everything else that you need is going to be added unto you. So, man, this righteousness thing goes up a couple of notches as far as importance is concerned. And so that's where we are at Matthew chapter 6. I want to read where that verse came from. So Matthew chapter 6, and I want to begin reading all the way in verse number something. It's verse 25. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you eat, or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So now here is that famous scripture that so many of us as believers have read over and over again. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you. I think the very subject of righteousness and being right with God, I believe that it is a subject that oftentimes there is too little preaching on. It's one of those things that, folks, we ought to be pouring this into ourselves all the time. We ought to be learning about righteousness and righteous and right living. And you go, well, why do you think we ought to learn about it all the time? Because this is what the Bible says in Proverbs 23. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And I got to be honest with you, this is one of those things that I struggle with on a daily basis. There are a lot of days that I don't feel righteous. Is there anybody in this room besides me that is like that? I mean, there's days I get up, I don't feel righteous, I don't feel saved, I don't feel a whole lot of things. I remember a young man that I married a few years ago. Him and his wife were young, and you know, it was one of those weddings that I performed, but I thought, oh man, I just pray for him because I hope everything turns out. Then about 6 months, he was in my office and he was ready to get a divorce. And he basically told me this. I said, but you're married. You know, you can't be doing all these crazy things. And he told me, but I really don't feel married sometimes. Man, I mean, I said, oh, wait a minute. You're married. You stood right in front of me. You vowed. I signed that marriage. I said, you're married. I don't care if you don't feel married. You're married. You understand? You're married. And then I beat him up. So just add punctuation marks or black marks. No, I wish I could have. But there's times in our lives whenever we, you know, we've had a bad week, a bad day, and we might not feel righteous. Amen? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So I got to be honest with you. I think we ought to be hearing this righteous stuff all the time. I think we ought to be studying. I think we ought to be quoting the scriptures all the time. Because, folks, this is what I'm telling you. In America today, I believe there is a huge problem that exists. And it doesn't just exist outside the church, because I think it exists inside and outside. Folks, the Church of Jesus Christ should be overflowing with joyful people. I mean, we should just be giggling all the time, just walking down the aisle there in Ingles, and we should just be bubbling. But I will tell you, that's not the way it is all the time, is it? So, why is there such a lack of hope? Maybe even an element of despair and distress, and certainly in the church today, there's a lot of stress. Amen? Folks, I'll be honest with you. I think there is far too much depression in the church today. There are so many people out there that are on antidepressant drugs. And it's not just adults anymore. There's kids that are on antidepressants. Y'all there? For heaven's sake, folks. There's dogs that are on antidepressants. My dog is depressed, Doc. He needs some puppy Prozac. I mean, my dog has never been depressed. She gets fed. That's her whole life. I mean, how do you find out whether or not your dog is depressed to begin with? Do you talk to them about this? If you do, you probably need a drug yourself. But I mean, seriously, this morning, what's going on? What's going on? There's so many worldly people out there today that are so depressed. They're so full of despair. They're so lacking hope. But it transfers right over into the church. There's Christians out there as well. And folks, this morning, we received communion. We have a covenant, man. This is my blood. This is my blood. Jesus Christ gave us His blood so that we could have life and everything that pertains to life. We could have life more abundantly is what Jesus told us. And so if we've got this covenant and we've got the blood of Jesus Christ, then why do we have no hope? Why do we have no joy? Why do we have no peace? I mean, in Romans chapter 14, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's what the kingdom of God is. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Any of y'all ever worry about things? I'm not looking. Don't look up here. But I mean, folks, with the blood of Jesus Christ, there shouldn't be anything we worry about. I've teased my kids for all the years I've ever had kids about killing them, you know. I just told them, I said, I'll kill you. And only my last one finally figured it out. I told him, I said, "I'm going to kill you." He said, "That's all right, Dad." He said, "I'm saved. I will go to heaven." Yeah. And it didn't work anymore after that. I mean, honestly, if the whole world collapses, you and I are going to heaven. Are y'all here with me? I mean, there's nothing that they can throw at me that is so bad that it would negate going to heaven. Are y'all there? I mean, I'm going to heaven. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ the moment that I die. To be absent from this body is to be present with God. So why wouldn't we be smiling? Hey, it stinks today, but you know what? I'm on my way to heaven because I have been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness. That's what the whole kingdom of God is about. So it says, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and everything else is going to go along. It's going to go well." You see, then if that's actually the case, seeking the kingdom of God, all these things are going to be added to us, then why isn't there peace? Why isn't there joy? Why isn't there hope? And I really believe it's because we're not seeking what He told us to seek. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added to you." Are y'all there? So if all these things aren't there and we're worrying about all this stuff, then folks, there's got to be a logical explanation why. It's we are not seeking the right thing. We're not seeking what He told us to seek. So, have any of you all ever dreamed about having power in your prayer? I mean, where you pray and it happens? I want that. I want to have power in my prayer. But this is what it says in James chapter 5. This is the last part of that scripture, but listen to this. He says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In other words, he's ending that statement right there. He's saying, guys, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man has power in it. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man has power in it. Maybe that's why that my prayers oftentimes don't get answered, because I'm not righteous. Because that's what it says. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But man, I can remember having a bad attitude. I can remember saying something I shouldn't have said. And so right there, that probably negates me having effective prayer. Are y'all there? Follow with me on this, because this is very important. Have you all ever prayed and it just, whenever you prayed, it felt like your prayers were hitting the ceiling wherever it was you were praying and bouncing right back down? Or maybe it felt like God was up in heaven going, "Talk to the hand." Anybody besides me ever been there? Okay, well, I imagine, because see what this says in James chapter 5. He says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So, folks, I'm thinking to myself, maybe the reason that I don't have that power in my prayer that I need to have in my prayer, it's because I'm probably not righteous. I've done things. I've said things. I've made a mess of things a few times with my life. And I got to ask you this question. Really? Because, folks, that's what the enemy wants us to think. He wants us to think the reason why our prayers are not effective is because we are not righteous. But folks, I'll tell you something. He screams it at me all the time. I mean, I'm praying and he goes, how in the world could you be asking God and believing God for that, knowing how your attitude is right now? Come on. None of y'all have ever had a bad attitude like me. Yeah. So, I mean, he's screaming at me. He said, "What? Hey, you're not righteous for heaven's sake." It says the effects and fervent prayer of a righteous man. You're not righteous. You've done things. You've said things. You are things that you shouldn't. And so I got to ask, oh, really, really, is that the truth? And then I got to ask my own self, did I ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life? Did that happen in my life? You know what I mean? I mean, folks, whenever people are thinking about their 40th anniversary for graduating from high school, and they think to themselves, I wonder what happened to old J.D. Watson. You know, because I went by a lot of aliases whenever I was in high school. Whenever I flunked a test, they said, you're just dumb. Some of you will get that. That's J.D., just dumb. Sometimes whenever I was being bad and the teachers would see me, they say, man, you are a juvenile delinquent. It's J.D. So, you know, whenever they're thinking about, you know, what happened to old J.D. Watson, I will tell you what happened to J.D. Watson. February the 4th, 1980, I got born again. I had a John chapter 3 experience. I got born again. I asked Jesus to come into my life and to save me. This is what it says in John chapter 3. This is Jesus and the discourse between him and Nicodemus. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so Jesus just gives Nicodemus a lesson here. He says, guys, this is a John chapter 3 experience. You must be born of the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So let me just tell you what happened. Whenever I was getting born again down in an altar, like this one right here, except didn't have any padding on it, I'm knelt down there. There's a young man leading me to Jesus Christ. I got born again. And I tell you what happened to me. Something happened that was supernatural. It was spiritual. It wasn't natural. It was outside of the ability of humankind. God, in his supernatural ability, did something in my life. That's what happened. I was knelt down there at the altar. Supernatural. Spiritual. John chapter 3 experience. Born of the Spirit. Woo, baby, that was a good day. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Man, we've quoted that scripture tons of times. So in other words, Jesus 2,000 years ago, whenever we celebrated this broken body and this spilled blood, Jesus, who had no sin, was nailed to the cross and he was crucified. He took the penalty of death on his own self for my sins. There came a time in the moments of his crucifixion where the Heavenly Father literally laid the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. He laid them on Jesus. And Jesus cried out, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because God could not even look at his own son because his son was now sinful. He made him that knew no sin to be sin for us. But that scripture doesn't stop there. It says, so that in him, Jesus was made sin so that we don't have to die. That death that we were prescribed, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Woo, I like that. I'm telling you, that scripture right there will preach. You see, whenever the new birth took place, literally, Jesus came inside of me. He came inside of my spirit, and he made me righteous. This is a good word, folks. Now, y'all are sitting out there like bumps on a log, but I'm telling you, if you're born again, this is a good word for you. God did something supernatural. He did something spiritual, not natural. It was outside of my ability. He made my spirit righteous. I was made righteous back February 4th, 1980. I knelt down at that altar and I was a heathen. I was a heathen with a capital H and a capital E and all the other letters in there. I think it's spelled with that. I was a heathen. I did horrible things. I was a horrible person. But whenever that supernatural event took place, literally God came inside me and he made me righteous. Do you remember the definition a while ago? He brought me into accord with his divine laws. All of a sudden, I was free from sin and I was free from guilt. Man, that's a good word, people. It's a good word. That's what happened. And so now, I want to read you that scripture again out of James. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay, now grab this one. It's not because that we're doing everything right, because folks, that will never happen. Amen? Never happen in JD's life. I will never ever come to a place this side of heaven where I will do everything right. And if you and I take out the baseball bat and we say, whenever we pray, I didn't do it right, so bad JD, you're bad. And so God's not going to hear you. He's not going to do anything for you. He's not going to answer that prayer. You see, this morning, this message is all about changing our way of thinking. Because folks, we have been made righteous through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He made him that knew no sin to be sin for us so that in Christ Jesus, you and I might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Man, I'm sure glad that he didn't put the righteousness of some human there, but he put his own righteousness out there. He said, man, this is the righteousness that you will become. And by the way, it is the best kind of righteousness you can have. Amen? There is none other besides his. It can be trumped. It's nothing bigger. And so we've been made righteous through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, not because of anything that you and I do that's right, but because we have been made righteous. In 2 Corinthians 5, just a couple of verses before verse 21, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I really didn't need to put that in there, but we read it last week and it's just so powerful. We've been reconciled. You know what? We could have never gone from being an enemy of God to being a friend of God unless we got righteous. Y'all there? See, it's like my wife has never judged me whenever I've been dirty. But I tell you, I'm a pro at getting dirty. And she's always let me come into the house and take off my dirty clothes and then get in the shower. Are y'all there? I know somebody, well, I've known somebody that they made their husband strip down outside They, don't you come in my house dirty like that. I had somebody over at my house one time, and they were in the kitchen helping cook and whatnot, and I came in, my hands were all filthy dirty. I hate to wash my hands in a bathroom sink. I just hate it because there's just not room there, because how many of y'all know I don't ever just get my hands dirty? The dirt goes all the way up to where my T-shirt ends. And so to scrub my arms and my hands and everything in that, I need a big sink. And so I always wash my hands in the kitchen sink. And I was washing my hands in the kitchen sink. This was my kitchen sink. And this person told me, if you were in my house, you would be washing your hands in that sink. And I looked at her and I said, huh, but this is my house. I said, go back to where you came from. Let me just make sure we all understand something. Nobody is going to come into the kingdom of God that is dirty. Because God's one that says, listen, if you don't come to me right, me and you are in one accord. Me and you are not enemies, but we are friends. You're not getting there. Are y'all there with me? There's this idea out there now that everybody that's ever lived is going to be saved. Everybody. You can call on the name of Buddha, Muhammad. You can live your life any way you want to live. And there's going to come a time whenever God just makes everything happen and everybody's taken out of punishment and they're brought into heaven. I'm just going to tell you that's not going to happen, because the Bible tells us that there is one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And the Bible's talking about this righteousness here that Jesus Christ, through his blood, we can obtain. Folks, I'm telling you, we're not going to go up to heaven and stand in our own self-righteousness. We're going to go up to heaven and stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God's got these rose-colored, crimson-colored glasses that he looks at us through, and he sees us washed by the blood of his Son, and therefore you and I can stand in the very presence of the Almighty Creator of this universe, and we can stand upright before him as children of the Most High God because of why? We have been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Reconciled to God. I mean, simplistically thinking, Jesus came in here. I invited him to come into my life. The temple of the Holy Spirit is here. And whenever he came in, he made me righteous. He had to scrub some stuff pretty hard. Come on. I think he even used a little bit of bleach in a few areas. Definitely scrubbing bubbles. Are y'all there? Had to clean it up. He can't live in an unrighteous place. If you're all sinful and dirty, he's not going to be able to live in that place. And so what happens is, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there's this supernatural, spiritual thing that takes place. And all of a sudden, our spirit is made righteous. It's made righteous. Now, there's two different kinds of righteousness whenever you look out there. There's God's kind that I've been talking about for the last few minutes, but there's also man's kind. Man's kind is self-righteousness. In other words, we do whatever we think is going to make us right with God. I used to read the Bible through every year. Man, I was good at keeping track, because I figured if I read my Bible through enough times, it would make me good enough for God. Are y'all there? I don't do that anymore. I'm not telling you don't need to read your Bible, okay? I'm just telling you, I don't look for that check mark. I used to think, man, you have to get up early and you have to pray and you got to do all these things. And man, I read somewhere one time that a minister is not worth one penny to God unless he spends his first 2 hours every morning in prayer to God. Had me under condemnation, because man, I tell you, I'd get up and sometimes I wouldn't spend 15 minutes in prayer, and I went around the rest of the day thinking, man, I'm a terrible minister. I'm a terrible minister. I'm a terrible minister. But you see, I was trying to walk in my own righteousness. I was trying to do it my way. See, I was doing whatever I thought would make me right. And I'll be honest with you. Whenever I would pray for 2 hours every morning, I felt pretty good about myself. Whenever I was completely caught up with my Bible reading and I had all the little check marks next to it, I felt pretty good about myself. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty much perfect.
Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, man, whenever I'd show up for church 30 or 45 minutes early, oh, that was awesome. I used to beat the pastor to church. That was so cool. He'd pull up and I'd go, see, I wasn't the one that always shook my watch at him at the end of the service. I felt good about it. Man, whenever I could string 6 or 8 months in a row and not miss Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I felt pretty good about myself. Are y'all there? Man, oh man. Oh man, oh man, oh man. Oh man, oh man. I felt pretty good. Have you noticed the word that's kind of ran through this whole last minute or two? It's called felt. I felt. I felt pretty good. I felt pretty righteous. Man's kind, doing whatever I thought would make me right with God. But then there's that kind of flip side to it where we say this, well, I'll tell you the truth, Pastor, I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. Old sinner. I'm an old sinner. Let's read out of Romans chapter 6 for just a minute. This is starting in verse number 9. It says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness in God, righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You see, you were a sinner, but now you are a saint. Hallelujah. Man, I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. I'm a saint saved by grace. I'm a child of the Most High God saved by grace. Hallelujah. I'm a member of a royal priesthood saved by grace. Woo, baby. Man, I cannot get you all stirred up this morning. I know you probably haven't had your coffee. That's all right. I haven't either. I mean, folks, it's kind of like this. Either the blood worked or it didn't. I mean, you got to make a call. You're sitting there saying, man, I don't think God's going to hear my prayers. I think, you know, I was real cranky to my wife. I was real ugly to my husband. I was mean to my kids. I slammed their head in the door, for heaven's sake. I mean, how could God ever listen to me? Are y'all there? You see, you got to back up and ask yourself the question, did his blood work or did it not? That's where it is. Are you born again or not? You can't say both. Well, you know, I was born again yesterday, but boy, last night I wasn't good. I was awful. I was a terrible man. Terrible. So probably this morning I'm not. But hopefully, Pastor will give an altar call next Sunday. I'll respond. You see, being born again ain't about feelings. Being righteous is not about feelings. Last week's message, being reconciled is not about feelings. We operate on our feelings too much. Folks, it's like I said earlier, we are Christians. We ought to be full of joy. We ought to be full of hope. We ought to be full of peace. And it's not because of the way we feel. The whole thing could be in the dumpster as far as our life is concerned. But I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that I am more than a conqueror. The Bible says I am the head and not the tail. The Bible says that my God is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides for me. And that we should be full of hope. We should be full of peace. but I don't much feel like it. The washing machine's still running over. I would like to feel like I'm saved all the time. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'd like to feel like I'm righteous all the time. I'd like to know whenever I kneel down and pray that this James thing is huge in my life, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. No, whenever I pray, something's going to happen. I'd like to feel that way. But most often, I don't. Let me tell you why. Because it was my spirit that got born again, not my brain. Some of you are going, My brain didn't get born again. Do you know what was a shocking reality to me? It's about 3 weeks after I got saved, and I finally came down off of that high that just Jesus had just flooded me with. I was working in the mines, and I had an adjustable wrench slip off of a nut that I was working on, and I hit myself in the face with it. And I just took that wrench, and I went, threw it as down the breakthrough as far as I could. There was probably six guys watching me do this. And they all knew that I'd got born again. I told them all, because, man, I was telling everybody I was born again. I was living for Jesus. But here's the thing. It wasn't bad enough that I threw the wrench, but there was about 48 cuss words that followed that throwing of the wrench. And I went, oh, I was mortified. How in the world could I still cuss? I cussed good, too. I'd had a lot of practice, and so, man, I just let them fly, and I go, oh, man, what happened? You see, my brain did not get born again. My spirit got born again. This supernatural, spiritual thing that happened, as Jesus said it would in John chapter 3, it happened to my spirit, but my brain didn't get born again. And that's why, you know, feelings are good. We want to feel everything. I mean, that's why prophecy is so good. People come and prophesy over you, you know, and you know, it helps us to kind of feel the answer. But this morning, I got to ask you this question again. Did the blood work? Did it work? Because the blood worked or it didn't work. You're born again or you're not born again. Your spirit got born again. Your brain didn't. Your spirit's new. So whatever become of J.D. Watson? 40 years from graduation. I didn't even know how to spell it. I thought it was spelled graduation. Because that's what my teacher taught. I went to Carrizozo High, the home of the Grizzlies. You know, Smokey the Bear was found about 20 miles from where I grew up. Smokey the Bear. But he wasn't a grizzly. They should have called our team the Black Bears or the Smoky Bears. What's become of J.D. Watson? Let me tell you. I became righteous. You go, oh, well, he's full of himself today. I've heard him sometimes, and he just doesn't talk. He said, slammed his kid's head in the door. That's what's become of me. So if you run into one of my high school buddies running around and they go, hey, I heard you go to J.D.'s church. How juvenile delinquent. Just dumb, John Deere. They had all kinds of things for me. My wife thought my name was James Delbert. I don't know where that came from either. But if you run into one and they say, what's become of him? You can just say, hey, listen, he lives in North Carolina now, and I'll tell you, he's become righteous. And they'll go, whoa, I never dreamed he'd be righteous. He was a hellion back whenever I knew him. Did all kinds of bad things. And you can just reiterate it. Say, listen, he's righteous now. He's definitely righteous. They'll go away thinking, man, that's the biggest lying person I ever seen in my life. J.D. Watson, he righteous? I went to school with him. I know he can't be righteous. For heaven's sake, my wife lives with me. But yet I will tell you this. What's become of J.D. Watson? I'm righteous. I'm righteous. Not because I feel like it. It's because I have been born again. By faith, I have received Jesus Christ, and therefore my spirit has been made righteous. So I am righteous because Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. And again, this word's really not about us becoming righteous. Let me tell you what this word's about. This is Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. That's important. It's really not talking about all the things of the world. It's really talking about a system of the world. And that whole system the world has starts with a thought process. So do not be conformed to the thoughts of this world, but be transformed. Because as long as you will let him, Satan will convince you every day of your life that you are not righteous. That's why so often we have to come to the altar 480 times. We gotta, before we ever feel like we're right with God. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you do what the Word tells you to do and you believe it in your heart, you are born again. You may not feel born again, but by faith you are born again because something took place supernaturally in your spirit. Something happened inside of you. God changed you. He came in and He brought His righteousness. He scrubbed you down, did a little bleach, little scrubbing bubbles, and now you are righteous through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But we got to transform the way we think. We got to transform the way we think. How are you doing this morning, Pastor? I'm righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm righteous. Well, he thinks a lot of himself. But that's what we got to do. Because the enemy's going to beat that out of us. Because the moment that you and I begin to know that we are righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, the enemy's got a problem. He's got a big problem. Because that's whenever you can pray by faith. You can say, listen, man, there's power in my prayer because I believe that I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And whenever I approach the throne room, there's a God that sets up and takes notice. And He gives me whatever I ask because I ask in the name of Jesus. I stand in His authority. There's no way you and I can ever be righteous in our own, but we can be righteous through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But Pastor, sometimes I don't do what I know I should be doing. Keeping the rules does not make you righteous. Now, habitual sin, that's a whole other thing. I'm not even going to talk about it this morning. But there's not any of us that keep the rules completely. Come on. There's not any of us that do. I mean, Miss Doris is one of the sweetest ladies I've ever met in my life. And I just couldn't imagine Miss Doris ever doing anything that would be wrong. But I just need to talk to her kids. Y'all know what I'm saying? There's some of you I can look out there and I can go, yeah, they'd do something wrong. But there are some of you in here that are just so sweet. I mean, look at Aaliyah. No, don't. Okay. So, because she's ornery. She came into office one morning and she's standing there looking at me. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, honestly? I said, yeah, honestly. She said, I'm just being nosy. I appreciated that honesty, Aaliyah. She's just got this little twinkle in her eye that, you know, you just know that she's up to something. That's the kind of kids I want. And all four of you on that front row are that way. Everyone, Chloe, you are the worst. Folks, you're not made righteous because you keep the rules. You're made righteous because Jesus Christ died for you. His blood was poured out, and you have taken advantage of that blood. And this morning, I challenge each and every person in this room It's not about feelings. It's not about feelings. It's about what he did on the cross for us. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, we just come before you. And we just want you to know, Lord, we love you. So, Father, this morning we just need to get this, Lord. We need to understand that we that have had that John chapter 3 experience, Lord, that we have been made righteous. That the righteousness, Father God, that you possess has been given to us. It's your righteousness that has come into us supernaturally.